You're listening to the audio production of The Record Keeper, a Murphy Shepard novel by Charles Martin, published by Thomas Nelson and read by Jonathan K. Riggs.
For Bones, because the needs of the one outweigh those of the 99. Part 1. Chapter 1. Coastal Georgia. The plane touched down on an off-the-grid military runway in southeast Georgia. I hesitate to say airport, because there was no tower and ours was the sole airplane. We landed, climbed into a rented Suburban, and in less than 3 minutes were accelerating south down the I-95 on-ramp. A few miles later, we turned east off I-95 at exit 58 and wound through two-lane highways to a MapDOT fishing hamlet called Spelman Bluff. Just past the Dollar General, two rundown bars sat opposite each other on the only road leading in. The marquee at the first read, "My favorite form of exercise is a beer run." The second played off it by responding, "Yeah, I have a feeling my Czech liver light might come on this weekend." We pulled off the hardtop onto a dirt road that led toward the water. Bones wound through abandoned double wides and dilapidated shacks, where bamboo shoots spiraled out of rusty cars with no wheels and no engines, and long-forgotten sailboats lay on their hulls, choked by vines, home now to cats and rats. This is ancient earth, populated by old trees, some 6 feet in diameter, whose moss-draped limbs swoop down to kiss the ground, only to rise again. We cruised down a private drive and parked at what looked like an old fish camp. Well-kept, unlit, and apparently empty. "How'd you know about this place?" I asked. He smiled. "I don't tell you all my secrets." We stowed our gear, and Bones took me to a covered dock where he punched a button raising the door and then pulled the cover off a Zodiac Pro rib, an extremely durable half-rubber, half-fiberglass boat about 24 feet long and just over 9 feet wide. Powered by twin 350-horsepower Mercury Verados, it could carry a dozen people and do so quickly. It also would allow us to do this relatively unseen, as matte black rubber tends to blend into the night. "Nice boat," I quipped. "Thought you'd like it," he tossed me a line. "Get in. Let's go for a ride." It was after midnight. Dead low tide and the half moon shone on the oyster beds rising up like pitcher's mounds around us. If there were that many around us, then what lay beneath us was a bed of razor blades. Bones navigated through the
sample complete. Ready to continue?